Well, hello, everyone. Welcome to a special edition. It's International Beer Day.
International beer?
International beer.
Does that mean we have to have a foreign beer?
Maybe.
I don't know. What does it mean?
Or
is it
throughout
like
the world,
House
every
of Pancakes?
Single country in the world right now is celebrating the beer, is celebrating beer as a day. Any beer, not just IPA day, not just... Hefeweizen Day.
Just any beer.
Any beer from... Yeah, it's weird. It's unclear whether you're drinking
local beer.
What
is the rules for putting the word international in front of a day?
Well, I don't know. The other thing is because of like... Okay, the internet's been around for a long, long time.
Yeah.
But I would say in the last, three, 4 years, all of a sudden, hey, it's ice cream day. Hey, it's taco day. Hey, it's slippers day. Hey, it's this. What? When the fuck did... Where did all these things
there's
come
from? There's a day for everything.
There is.
I bet you there's a tampon day.
And so if you have a... I hope so. If there is, I want to know because I want to celebrate. I don't know what I'm going to do.
I don't know either.
No, I'm not going to go down that road.
There's a lot of jokes you can make
but
about
also,
that.
Like, International Beer Day, you know, if we're going to do that, that's great. I love it. It happens to be today. I'm celebrating it right now. But then the next thing you know, it's also, it's International IPA Day. It's like, why do we have to have a separate one for a classification?
Yeah, why do we have to segregate?
I don't know. I don't understand.
You know, what's funny is they have, like, Father's Day, Mother's Day. I think there's a Parents' Day.
International Father's Day.
Yeah.
Should we have that?
Is it
just put international
is
it in front
international
of it.
Anyway?
What about Stepdad Day?
Do they, Stepdaughter. Father-in-law Day.
Father-in-law Day. I guess the Father-in-law Day is covered in the fact that in the Father's Day, he's covered.
Father-in-law
Father-in-law
Day.
Covered. He's covered. He's covered under Father's
but that's
Day.
That's not fair. There's a day for everything.
There is a day
although
for everything.
Although I think every day should be Taco Day.
I'll agree with that.
Yeah.
God bless.
I don't know what the rules are for putting international in front of a day.
There's no ice cream day? Hey,
but it's not
ice cream day.
International ice cream day. And also, is it a registered day? Do you have to register this as a national day, or did some company come up with international beer day?
Right.
I mean, if we could just say it, I'm just going to make a day for everything. Wookiee Day.
Yeah. You know, so there's an actual
day.
There's a day coming up in September. I know this because this is involved with my work, which is actually it was called International Rivers Day. Now it is called World Rivers Day.
Rivers?
Yeah.
Like
so
Joan
this
Rivers?
Is it's about Joan Rivers. No, hey, fun fact about Joan Rivers, she and I shared the same birthday.
Ooh.
Yeah. But World Rivers Day was started by an environmentalist here in Vancouver.
Celebrating rivers?
It's celebrating rivers, but actually it's an environmental movement to clean up rivers. Remember that Jeans Day? Not Jeans Day, but that it was called River Blue. Same guy.
Yeah.
So it's the 25th anniversary. So that's something that actually started. That's a real day. That is a day that's been adopted around the world as September 27th, I think, is to celebrate and be aware about the health of our rivers and making sure we're not polluting them and all of that stuff. Revitalizing rivers and helping salmon stocks and all that stuff. Just how our global...
Are they still doing that, though? Like and when it is Rivers Day?
Yeah.
Are people actually going out there and cleaning up the river?
Well, of course it's different this year.
Yeah.
But there is still local communities but I mean this is a real day. Not that I'm, you know, against ice cream day or taco day. I just want to understand that these are kind of just made up days. And any day in the world or any day of the week, you can have ice cream.
Yeah. You could just put international right in front of it, just like the House of Pancakes or International House of Pancakes.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't know what the international part is. I don't know if we need
question,
it.
Question, though.
Happy Beer Day.
Is the International House of Pancakes, is it in other countries?
Well, it's in the U.S. and Canada.
Is it?
Therefore, it qualifies.
International, I guess.
Yeah.
Is it in Europe? They have Pancake Day in Europe.
And the question is, was IHOP behind the start of Pancake Day? I bet you they were.
That's a British thing.
Is it?
British thing is Pancake Day.
Okay.
Because when I lived in England, we celebrated Pancake Day. It had to do with some guy.
Mm.
I can't remember. Look it up. You'll find what it is. It has to do with the British something, rather.
All right.
Yeah.
That's good to know. I will look it up.
You do the pancake toss. You actually go outside and throw pancakes back and forth, like a frisbee.
You know, I think I did that once in elementary school.
Yeah, Pancake Day.
I feel like it was toward the end of the year. Is it like a May, June Pancake
Probably.
Day? You know what? I have the internet.
I don't know.
Right,
England is always gray, so I don't know what season it is.
That's right. Good point.
So I don't remember. I just remember staying out in front of our school and doing it with our host Nathan teacher, and we were tossing pancakes around, and it was the best day ever.
Host nation teacher.
Yeah,
that's good.
Yeah.
Let's open up the beer that we have, and then I will get to some news quickly. But while you're doing that, so the beer we're having is from Persephone Brewing here in BC. It's Gibson's BC, which is on the Sunshine Coast, a beautiful little spot close to my heart. But it is called the Peach Hefeweizen. I'm going to shut up for a second while you open that. I just spoke right all over that, but that's okay.
It's a beautiful color, like a beautiful peach color can.
It is a peach colored label. So there's a Peach Hefeweizen. That is the. I have a little bit of information on it, but what I was so excited to talk about first and why we're recording.
Here's the pour.
That sounds good.
Makes me want to go to the bathroom.
That sounds really good. So the Persephone Brewing Hefeweizen was released. This is crazy. It was released June 8th, 2020.
Your birthday.
It was my birthday. And doesn't that seem like
not 2020 though?
Ever ago.
You should be illegally drinking.
Yeah.
You'd be barely one.
But so it was released on my birthday back like what seems like forever ago now.
Yeah.
June is not that long ago, but in a pandemic, time is just frozen.
I remember seeing this on the shelf in June.
Yeah.
And because the liquor store was open up then still.
That's right.
It wasn't a bottle at first.
Oh, okay.
It wasn't the big 50 milliliter bottle. Mm-hmm. And then I started seeing it in cans.
Nice. This is a twist on the German style wheat ale with a subtle note of peach to complement the flavors of banana and clove. So that's something that when we were talking about Hefeweizens, I always kind of forget that it's usually that clove and banana taste going on. So the color looks good. Partial proceeds are going to Young Agrigans, and this is to help grow the next generation of farmers and food lovers in Canada.
Oh, that's pretty awesome.
So Persephone is really big on like the farm to table. So they're like big. They've got an 11-acre hop farm, and so they also grow a bunch of other stuff too. So at that brewery, they do a lot of farm to table kind of food as well.
That's awesome.
So that's available in stores. It's been out since June.
It says it on the can too. Like proceeds, this brew go to the Y. What is it called? The Young Art. I can't even say. What
Young
you said.
Agrigans.
Thank you.
I think I'm saying that right. I've never heard that term, but now I get it. It's agricultural.
Humans. Oh, it's to. You already said this right. To grow the next generation of farmers. Okay.
Yeah. So let's try this out, and then I'll get into the stories.
Sniffy sniff.
I just sniffed the microphone too. I don't know why.
Why did you? You're comparing your microphone to your beer as a sniffer.
The microphone smells good as well. Hoppy. A little too hoppy for me though.
It was foamy at first, but then the foam all went away. This is nice.
That is nice. A little peachy.
Do you think they put apricots in this?
Probably.
Or an apricot seed.
Years ago when we were home brewing, a seasoned home brewer said, we were told we were making peach. I think we might have been making peach Hefeweizen.
Yeah.
And he said, oh, yeah, you should use apricots because you'll get a better peach flavor out of it. Fun fact.
And seeds as well. The seed of an apricot.
Oh, that's true.
It's really good. I like it. It's a good summer drinking beer.
It's very nice.
It's nice. I quite like it. I feel like I can drink a 6-pack of these with no problem.
Ooh,
pretty easy.
Settle down, lady.
It's really good.
Love it. So
it's down very easy.
I'm a little jacked up because we're recording this late because... we just watched the Canucks stomp the shit out of the Minnesota Wild to move on.
You were
and
very, very
to be
concerned.
Fair, stomp the shit is a little bit of incorrect because...
They did. They were bullies.
Well...
The Wild were bullies.
Hell of a series.
They were really going after Pedersen.
Pedersen, yeah.
They were really trying to hurt him hard.
Yeah, they were. They're dicks.
So they were bullies, and they got a taste of their own medicine, and Canucks weren't taking their shit,
yeah.
And they decided to, like, kick them out.
It
now
was really a stressful game tonight, so it was game four. We avoided game five. We were losing. We were trailing the whole game and kept coming back and tying it up. And it's like, fuck, finally. We got to get ahead, and then fucking they would score.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm jacked up. The Canucks haven't won a playoff series in 9 years. So to be back at it and back in the game.
Yeah.
It's pretty awesome.
That's awesome. And they're probably the strongest team they've been in a long time. So
yeah.
So and let's hope.
Also, if you're not from Vancouver, not familiar with the Canucks, I'll just give you a little rundown of how it works here, which is a handful of people love hockey here, like a lot of people, but not the whole city. But if the Canucks manage to move on to the next round, then more and more people will like the city, will like the Canucks again, and will come
like
back
the city.
And we'll see and we'll see more and more Canucks fans, and everybody will be into it. And it'll be weird because in the past, 9 years ago, when we did our tremendous run, you know, people were getting together, partying and doing all that, and it was fun to have, you know, barbecues and things and all that, gather around, watch hockey together. We can't be doing that anymore. So it'll be all of us watching hockey in our houses. And the other thing that I'm wondering about, too, is because in the 9 years, I'm talking general public mm-hmm. of people not watching hockey anymore, a lot of people don't have cable anymore. So it means if they want to watch hockey, they either have to go out to a bar, which, of course, they can do, which will be interesting.
Yeah.
Because bars were usually really, really packed. Or they'll actually have to pay to stream it because a lot of people don't have cable anymore.
Yeah, you're right.
So that's
And
fine.
You can't go to a game.
No, and you can't go to a game
You
either.
Can't go to a game.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah, you're kind of screwed.
So it's going to be fun to see. Anyways, we get at least 4 more Canucks games, which mm-hmm. is always awesome. And I'm very, very hopeful. I'm very excited. And I hope we can do well on the team.
Yeah, I'm excited they're going a little longer then. And it does put a good mood, the city in a good mood when the Canucks are doing well. The city seems to be in a slightly better mood.
But welcome welcome back, bench wagoners. Wagoneers.
I wanted to say welcome back, Carter.
Welcome back, Cotta. Welcome back, all you folks, to the Canucks bandwagon. It's been real lonely for the last 9 years here. I've been dedicated, and I've been watching them through the crap years.
And what did I tell you when you first met me?
Never give up on your team.
Yeah, and you've never forgot that.
You've got to stay with them during the low times.
Mm-hmm.
And we took forever to rebuild. Mm-hmm. And now we're finally here. Things are starting to click. Things are starting to pay off. And they're a young team. So even if we don't make it this year all the way through, it really bodes well for us for the next, I would say, 5 to 10 years because we got these young guys.
Do you want to hear something really funny?
I'd love to.
I don't know why I'm bringing this up, but I've been making masks recently and like selling them to friends and stuff. And I filmed a video during your hockey game.
Yep.
And I filmed a video of a mask of how you use it and how you clean it and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I sent it to one of my Spoolie Town friends.
Yes.
And I wrote her and said, ignore the noise and ignore the hockey noise in the background.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's so Canadian to send a video to an American with hockey noise in the background.
Oh my God, that's funny. You have to play me that video.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And she's just laughing so hard. And I was like, why didn't I think of that joke when I sent it to her? Like, I just said, sorry for all the hockey noise. My husband's watching hockey in the background. And that's so Canadian.
And was I cheering or was I crying? It depends on playing of the game.
Yeah. I don't think so either.
Right.
But I just thought that was really funny. It was just sounded so Canadian for me to send a video with hockey in the background. Because that's when you go to Canada, that's all you hear is hockey.
And
that's what it made it sound like.
And it was in between shots of me chugging maple syrup, I bet.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
And feeding your pet beaver.
Yeah. Exactly. So let's get into the news. This beer is quite nice. I'm really enjoying it.
I actually really like this. I think it's a good patio beer.
We should turn up the heat and like start getting good sweat going, and then I think it'll be really, really refreshing.
Okay.
We're drinking it late at night.
Let me just turn on the heater.
The heat is on. Okay. Real news. And this week I'm pulling news from around the internet, not just one source. So
you went around the
I
corner.
Went around the internet this week and was collecting things throughout the week. I was slightly more organized. Also, it was a bit of a slow week for news.
You but, orbited the internet.
I did what now?
Orbited.
I orbited the internet. Yeah. I went and did the time and collected some beer news. I went around the internet and collected some beer news so you don't have to.
Yeah.
It's Isn't that good?
Yeah, that's awesome.
So the first story is this one. This is a fantastic cause, but I don't know if I love the approach. So this story comes from, this is another one of these global movements that's happening around the world with different breweries. And this one is a group of North Island breweries. So this is Vancouver Island, Northern Breweries in Vancouver Island, have collaborated on a special Imperial Stout as part of the Black is Beautiful initiative.
Oh.
So what this is, I really believe in this cause. I really believe in the movement. And this was started by Weathered Souls Brewing in San Antonio, Texas. Black is Beautiful is a collaboration effort amongst the brewing community and its customers that attempts to bring awareness to the injustices people of color face daily and raise funds for police brutality reform and the legal defense for those that have been wronged. So this is basically a movement for beer for Black Lives Matter, which is fantastic.
Awesome.
So this time there's a beer brewed by Gladstone Brewing, Land and Sea Brewing, and Ace Brewing, and New Traditional Brewing. The beer is said to be full-bodied ale and tastes of blueberries, figs, and chocolate. And it's available now at all of their tasting rooms. So here's the thing, and let me know what you think about it. And maybe I'm overthinking it.
Okay.
Black Lives Matters, so we're making dark beers.
Is that what they did?
Yeah, that's what a lot of breweries around the world are doing now. So it's I mean, what better way to support a movement than making beer? But it's just a little uncomfortable that they happens to be dark beers.
I mean, I guess it's okay. Is that what they first came to mind?
Well, that's just
I mean, I guess it's fine. I don't see any problem with it because they're supporting dark beer.
It's a little, it's a little cringy to me, but I like it.
At least they're trying.
It's going in the right direction, but But it is sort of like that, I'm this white guy and I don't know what to do, but I want to get involved.
How about supporting black-owned breweries?
Okay, but then how is somebody here in Vancouver or Vancouver Island where there isn't such a large
community?
You can
collab.
Well, that's what they've done. But
yeah.
And I don't know the
ethnic
backgrounds of all the breweries here.
Did you say the money was going towards an organization?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's fine. All that matters is that this organization is getting money. And they're selling beer and helping them raise money and awareness. That's the main goal.
And I'm 100% going to go and buy these beers and support because, again, I really, really love the cause. But I just...
I know what you mean. But, again, it's all about they can amplify it by selling beer and raising money. Then that's great.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's fine. You can analyze it and go, that's kind of weird. But at the same time, they're raising awareness and they're raising money for a good cause and amplifying it.
And I bet you it's fantastic beer. So,
yeah, I think we should look for it. If we can find it, let's get it.
Look for the Black is Beautiful labels. There's more information at blackisbeautiful.beer.
Well, okay, if the name is called Black is Beautiful, then it makes sense. It's a dark beer.
Yeah.
So.
It does.
And a dark beer is beautiful, too.
Yes, absolutely.
So I don't have a problem with it. It's totally fine.
No, I don't have a problem with it, but I just, when I first originally saw it, I was, I'll move on because it's just. Anyways,
no, I think it's awesome. I think it's awesome.
You can probably find that beer. There's probably a brewery in your part of the world that is getting involved in it, too, and definitely think you should to get into that. So, again, go to blackisbeautiful.beer. So our next story is a Canadian brewery apologizes for a beer named pubic hair in Maori.
Ew.
Yeah, it's unintentional.
Unintentional? Someone actually said, let's call it pubic hair.
No. So the word that they use was haru haru, pale ale. And it was this beer was made 2 years ago, thinking that they thought the word in Maori meant feather. So they were making a light pale ale, haru haru. But recently, a Maori TV personality pointed out that the common interpretation of the word in a Facebook video said that it basically means pubic hair. So there was two different, there was actually another business that was doing it too. Sorry, let me find that. Reference to pubic hair. Damn, I can't find it. So this brewery in Alberta had to apologize. And the other thing that I don't know is, like, was this beer even on sale there? I don't think it was. But if it was, way to go to get your beer to New Zealand. But that doesn't matter.
Exactly. That's really funny. So all of New Zealand's like laughing. Pubic hair beer.
Not that they're laughing. So this was the thing is I think there's it's embarrassing enough to get a word translated wrong and think it was called something. So that's embarrassing for the Hell's Basement Brewery in Alberta. However, this person here was very upset about it. And actually, well, I'm not going to put any, it's their feelings. They were upset. So let's let them have their feelings and feel the injustice behind it. But we wish to make it especially clear. This is the person talking. We wish to make it especially clear that it was not our intent to infringe upon or appropriate the Maori culture and the people that way. Sorry, this is actually the brewery saying this. To those that feel disrespected, we apologize. Mr. Nakira criticized the leather store in New Zealand for using the name Haru Haru and said it had contacted both the name and the brewery over the use of the word. Some people call it appreciation. I call it appropriation. It's that entitlement disease they've got. Stop it. Use your own language.
I guess the word, if you're going to name your beer something that's another language, double check your work. That's all. Or not call it that at all, or just use your own language like you said. But yeah, that's a big mistake, because pubic hair beer is sounds gross.
Yeah, nobody wants that in their beer.
No, I don't even know how that would be funny. Like unicorn farts. It wouldn't be funny. It would be kind of like
they
gross.
They thought it meant the word feather.
Just use feather.
Because Haru Haru pale ale sounds better than feather pale ale.
Did you shave your Haru Haru today?
Ooh. Shave off my Haru.
I've learned a new word.
So way to go, Hell's Basement. You pissed off some folks.
It is Hell's Basement, so yeah, they got shit going on down there.
That's true.
There's no double checking. There's no double checking your work.
Oh boy.
But yeah, they could just use the word feather. That's totally fine.
I also think that this is a mistake. I don't think this is cultural appropriation, like what he's saying. However, I'm not Maori, so I have no right to say anything.
But it's like, I guess they're saying it's like if you try to name a beer after some Aboriginal thing and they're like, you used it completely wrong on your name.
Yeah. So you should probably check.
You should double check your work. Or you know what? Collaborate with the people of Murari and make a beer collaboration with them and then call it whatever they come up with.
I'm gonna guess this is what happened.
Uh-huh.
We got some punk ass fucking surf kid from New Zealand spending a year.
He's probably been saying that word all over the place.
We got some punk ass kid from New Zealand living in Alberta, working here for a year. And going, hey, mate, you know what you be doing? You want Haru Haru? You want to make a beer called Haru Haru, right? That's my terrible New Zealand.
That he probably says that all day long.
That's more offensive. That's probably more Australian.
He probably is like, Haru Haru. And he's got the whole bar doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then he's like, well, hey, well, fuck, that's great. What does that mean? It means feather. He knew what the fuck he was doing. He was getting back at these dicks.
Maybe he just doesn't like the workers. I don't know. Did he get fired?
Well, I don't know. The story doesn't go into that. I'm just making a bold statement.
Well,
that's how this happens.
Like if you were going to use a language of, it's an Aboriginal language, right? Of New Zealand.
Yep.
If you're going to,
Polynesian.
Feel like, okay. If you're just going to use someone else's language, maybe collaborate with them. That's all.
Well, I'm impressed that people in New Zealand have found out about this beer from Alberta. I'd never heard of this Alberta beer.
Well, we have New Zealanders that live here.
Yet they have it in New Zealand.
But we have tons of people from all over the world that live here that probably noticed and sent it back to their friends and family.
Yeah.
And were like, what the fuck? You got pubic hair beer? I don't know, Alberta. There are some great names for beer, and that is not one of them.
That's true.
Yeah. Yeah, so
could've
that's interesting.
Do they
not make it anymore, or are they still producing? I mean, is it done with?
I think they're going to change the name. They'll probably end up calling it Feather. Or Scrotum Pale Ale.
They're going to try and use a different language. Oh, boy. Lesson learned, I guess.
I was trying to think of a joke for... No, it's a pale ale. I was thinking Hefeweizen because we're drinking Hefeweizen. I got it screwed up in my head. But anyway, moving on.
Yeah, you're mixing the two things up.
Yeah, I'm missing.
Yeah.
On. So so I'm just going to move on to the new beers of the week that I'm excited to try.
Okay.
And I showed you this one earlier this week. This is from another beer co, and they've released Florida Vice.
Ooh.
Which, when I showed you a picture, it is it's a two-fruit sour. and it is 4.5 ABV, and it's just described as follows. Florida Vice 2, it's got a 2, it's a sequel, by the way.
It's a 2. Okay.
Is a light Berliner Vice packed to the gills with fruit, lots of fruit, pink guava, pineapple, red cherry combined on a bed of light malt, dough, and lemon zest. And the can of it looks like the cover of Miami Vice. So it's got two guys.
What are all those fruits have to do with Miami?
Not a damn thing.
Because pineapple is Hawaiian.
Why do you got to ruin it?
Guava.
Come on now.
Is not from Florida.
Well, neither was key lime, but they've embraced the shit out of that in Key West.
Key lime was imported as a healing
agent. There's also, I think, if I'm not mistaken, and Miami Vice already did this too, where they put flamingos on the in the theme of the thing. Yeah. They're not from
Miami. I wrote
Miami
a whole article
either.
On that on my blog once about
years ago
the Florida flamingo and how the Florida lottery uses a flamingo.
Also, this is a brewery from New West doing a Florida themed beer. So
ooh,
you know what?
This I wonder if someone's there from Florida.
This is a summertime beer and I'm all for it and I can't wait to try it.
Yeah, I'm interested to know like why someone must have went to Florida and love it, or what's going on? What's the deal with the Miami Vice situation?
So look for that.
I'd like to know.
Florida Vice.
It sounds good. What kind of beer was it?
It's a fruit sour.
Fruit sour. Okay. It should be. That's a lot of fruit in one beer.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of fruit. You know what, though? I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to break this down.
Break it.
The fruit, Miami Vice is very 80s, and the fruit is all different colors.
Yeah.
Okay. 80s loved color in the 80s, like neon and stuff. So thinking the fruit is kind of like represents the colors of the 80s.
And it's back.
And it's back.
And hipsters are making beer.
And I don't know. I'm just thinking like, I'm trying to remember like the Trapper Keeper in the 80s where it had like cherries and bananas and stuff on it. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Maybe they're just going for like a little 80s vibe with this beer with all the fruit, like a Starburst.
Right.
I don't know. We'll see.
I am just going to...
Although making a beer with Starburst, interesting.
There's the label.
Oh, okay. That's pretty cool. Oh, and it has a gator head. Gator hole and a pineapple, so Florida.
Croc and Tubbs. Crocodile.
Mm-hmm.
Poetic license. It's a good label. I'm for it.
I can't wait
to try it.
I don't know what a croc will do with a pineapple, but I get it.
Because the character's names were Sonny Crockett. Croc.
I get it.
I'll just keep explaining.
No, it's pretty good. Also, I recognize the ABC thing. Is that the co-op beer that we had the other
day? Nope, that's another brew company.
I saw that
beer
name on
company.
There.
New cool. West. That's just their name.
That's a cool can, though.
Yeah.
I like how they put the picture of the label spread out on the can on the photo.
Yeah, I think it's well done.
That's pretty cool.
All right, next beer.
Like
also release. I got to find out a better way to segue from these other than just next beer.
Next beer.
Well, let's.
I'll just go next beer.
There we go. Yeah, yeah. I need those sound buttons.
Smitty news.
Yeah. Bandit Brewing releases Dolorous IPA.
Bandit Brewing.
Sorry. Dolorous. You know, I'm going to pick stories that are way easier for me to read.
Why don't you just start that over so we don't act like you learned to read yesterday?
Yeah, that's true. It was 2 days ago. Bandit Brewing releases Dolorous IPA.
Dolorous.
Yeah.
What the hell's that?
I don't know. That's the name of their beer. That is a double dry hopped IPA. Dolorous, a 6.5 ABV, is described as follows.
That could be pretty bitter.
Juicy and tropical. This hazy IPA hits you with intense dank aroma.
Ew.
And layers of citrus, mango, orange peel.
I don't know. Using the word dank isn't appealing to me.
Dank. This double dry hopped with Enigma and Citra results in tropical flavors with this highly bitter finish that is balanced by the subtle sweetness. So this sounds like it's going to be bittery. But
I already know it's going to be bittery.
But I'm hoping it's balanced out with the sweetness from the fruit. But
I doubt it.
This is a beer from Toronto, so we may not even be able to try it here. But it sounded interesting to me.
It does sound quite bitter if it's double dry hopped.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Double dry.
They'll get you in saying it's fruity, but you probably get more bitterness.
And don't forget.
So if you like IPAs, like strong IPAs, then that would be a good one for you.
Or if you like beverages that are intense, dank.
dank is a word that should not be used in food or anything you consume.
You know what else I don't like? Mouthfeel.
Mouthfeel?
Yeah, people say it's got mouthfeel.
What the hell does that mean?
I don't know. I'm uncomfortable when I hear it.
Wow.
Some people like don't like the word moist. I don't like the word mouthfeel. We should
mouthfeel.
Never say that.
And I'm just
dank.
Mouthfeel.
Yeah.
A physical sensation in the mouth produced by a particular food. You know what it is? It's these beer
it's
nerds.
Called taste.
Beer pompous nerds who are wants to use fancy words. And you just go, sure. And you don't know what the fuck they're talking about.
It's a tremendous mouthfeel.
And it's also mouthfeel as one word.
Yeah, how about that?
Yeah. So there you go.
So Doralis is available in 35 millimeter cans. You can get it at the Bandit Brewery retail store and online shop. So if you're in the Toronto area, you can get that beer now.
And if you want a textile sensation in your mouth.
If you... You know what? I want somebody to go try this. I hope there's somebody here listening from Toronto that can go in from Toronto. See how I slurred that? And let us know what it's like. Tell me about that dank.
Tell me if it's a mouthfeel.
Tell me about the mouthfeel. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to repeat things you say.
All About That Dank is a good beer name, though.
All About That Dank.
Dank.
Dank stank. The third beer is Boxing Rock Brewing releases. Okay. This one sounds amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Boxing Rock Brewing has announced the release of its new seasonal ale. Indigo Blueberry Sour Ale is 5.2 ABV and is described as follows.
Mm-hmm.
Fresh blueberries from the Parsbow region of Nova Scotia gives this striking beer characteristic color and awesome flavor. This unique hued beer is mildly tart and fruity, which makes the perfect thirst quencher.
Mm.
The photos of this, I should have saved a photo for you because it was a beautiful blueberry color.
Oh, it sounds good.
And
love blueberry.
And it's a sour. And it just sounds awesome.
That sounds good.
It does really sound good.
I anything you put blueberries in, I really like.
And the unfortunate part about this is it's all the way on the other side of the country. So there is zero chance of me trying this beer, probably.
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 I mean, if anything, it would be at our liquor store down the street, which is Everything Is Wine. He tends to import some things.
That is true.
But if it's a limited release, they probably won't be able to get it in.
Yeah, it really depends
on
how many people.
Also, the downfall of us not being able to cross the border right now. We can't go get limited release beer.
But this is a Canadian beer, so we still can't get it. So we're still screwed.
That is true.
This last one, I'm going to have a really, really difficult time pronouncing. This is a beer from North Vancouver with a sort of a Spanish flavor. They mm-hmm. are this beer is described. I'm going to try and pronounce this. It's going to be bad. I'm going to butcher it, but hang in there. La Serra Vieja Estaleros launches in North Vancouver with El Valle Sellado Salted Lime Lager.
You sound like a Spanish soap opera.
Well, I feel I'm going to double down and probably just offend more people by going with my Latin pronunciation. It's the only way I'm going to get through it.
I love it.
A new brewery aiming to bring genuine tastes of Mexico to North Vancouver's shipyard and brewery district has announced the release of its first beer, La Cerveza Alastaros, Spanish for the shipyard's brewery. So that's fun.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So it's named for the shipyard district. That's where the brewery is. This is a brand new brewery, so I hope to go and support this brewery very, very soon.
Mm-hmm.
So the beer is called El Valle Salado Salted Lime Lager.
Cool.
This will be opening in its tap room very, very soon. And they're opening up a Mexican restaurant in the Lower Lonsdale neighborhood.
Oh, that's fun because everybody else, brewery restaurants are typically all the same.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're doing like a whole Mexican restaurant. That's cool.
And
that's
so they're
awesome.
Brewing a salted lime lager, which will be really,
a reason
really
for us to venture to...
to North Vancouver.
North Vancouver.
Maybe when we go there, we'll pick up my Tesla.
Props for them being a little different.
Yeah.
Because I think that'll do really well.
Yeah.
And their beer is sort of Mexican themed, I guess, all their beer.
I don't know if... it doesn't say...
If they're going as far as a Mexican restaurant, I imagine they're doing...
Mexican style...
Style beer.
Yeah. And And, you know, not a lot of people are making lagers, so this is great.
Yeah,
I don't know why.
I like a good lager.
From time to time.
Sure.
It's the way to go.
Good lager's good.
Yeah. No, I'm really, really excited. Yeah. Something different. Something that's not hoppy. Something that's not soury. Something that's not smoked, whatever, whatever. Mm-hmm. This is just as great. This is out of the norm. And it's a brand new business here in Vancouver.
I hope there's some vegetarian options.
Well, you know, Mexican food very, very easily converted to vegetarian. So should be plentiful for us.
Yeah, that'll be awesome.
Because
that's great. I'm actually excited for that. When do they say when they're going to open?
It does not, unfortunately. So I'll have to dig a little bit deeper.
Probably a little delayed now.
Yeah. In advance of its official opening, the brewery has launched its debut beer. So the beer you can get now. So we'll have to go look for that.
Yes, we will do that.
Yeah.
And we'll do another podcast on it for sure.
So did you have any other stories? I know you've been scrolling around while I've been misreading things all night.
I have some beer news from Florida, but I don't know if I had time to read through it, though. But let's see.
Give me the
Florida hunt. Craft beer laws could use a reboot around the brew bend. Sounds like breweries in Florida are getting pushed around.
Uh-oh.
A few people realize that behind the simple word beer lies a labyrinth, a regulation so tricky to navigate that it seamlessly requires two PhDs to decipher them. How did a simple product with a complicated history find itself on the brink of collapse in Florida?
Oh, no.
Yeah. Why is the future of one of Florida's fastest growing industries tied to antiquated laws in the 1930s? We promise not to bore you with the history lesson, but you need to understand how we got here. On December 5th, 1933, the 21st Amendment was ratified, repelling the 18th Amendment and the United States ban on alcohol and in prohibition, which we all know about.
Yep.
States individually creating laws regulating how reintroduction of alcohol would be sold. Not long after, yes, we are still talking 1933, Florida built the now infamous three-tier system into its alcohol laws. In essence, the system allowed one to either A, brew the beer, B, sell the beer, or C, distribute it. However, there was one catch. You weren't allowed to do all three.
Right.
Right?
Gotcha.
Since the primary of the few big beer breweries like Anheuser-Busch, Miller, and Coors survived Prohibition, lawmakers thought the three-tier system would prevent monopolies and create a level playing field, allowing smaller breweries to join the party. And at first, it did. However, that is no longer the case, and it hasn't been for some time. Pay close attention here, because the crux of the Florida's current desire situation for craft breweries. Since 1933, more than 30 states have amended their laws to be more equitable for three tiers by allowing for self-distribution, meaning breweries can sell their beer directly to retailers. In states with updated laws, breweries are permitted to sell at least some of their beer within a short radius of the brewery's location, directly to bars, restaurants, or liquor stores without the need for a distributor. Hmm. Florida, however, is not among them. So, currently all beer sold by a brewery to a retailer must, by law, be sold through a distributor regardless of how near, like across the street, or how far a retailer is. Furthermore, in those states with amended laws, breweries are permitted to sell at least some of their beers directly to bars, restaurants, or liquor stores without the need of a distributor, which gets roughly 30% discount on every keg we sell them. And the 30% comes right out of the brewery's pocket and
else. Okay, so there's no markup on the beer, but they have to sell it to the distributor at 30% less. That's not cool.
Yeah.
Oh, well, shit. I hope that Florida gets their act together and fixes that stuff.
Yeah, so it sounds like they're having a bit of a problem. This article goes on for a while. I don't want to read the whole thing to you and bore you.
No, and these are laws and rules that are 90 years old now.
Yeah.
We got to change with the
time. Was it, say, 1933?
Yeah.
So, the laws need to change. And sorry, I just scrolled down to another article with the world's biggest snake, and it just freaked me out.
Oh, boy.
But
that's the Florida beer news that Shannon just
brought in. So, I mean, if you want to read this article, it's pretty interesting. And there's more
I will link it in the notes as well as the rest of the stories that I mentioned.
It's the Palm Beach Daily News from August 7, 2020.
Okay.
So it's not that long ago.
Man.
So it sounds like Florida breweries are fighting and trying to change a law there. Hope they can.
Yeah, and especially times like this, right, where breweries are just selling them to restaurants and need all of the different avenues.
Well, it's coming up more because of COVID, and they're not able to distribute as fast.
Right.
Because things are down, so especially in Florida.
And they're antiquated rules, and we should move on and get everybody should be able to sell through all the avenues that they need to survive.
Well, they ended the article with saying, let's work together to free the beer and give Florida craft breweries a fighting chance to survive now and in the future.
Perfect. Perfect way to sum that up.
Yeah.
That's great.
So there's more to the article, a little bit more history, a little bit what they're trying to do, but let's hope they can get their shit together in Florida. But we all know how Florida is. My home state, I know it's fucked up, but yeah, always something.
It is always something.
Always something.
Well, that's it. Thank you for the little international beer news on International Beer Day.
Yes, there you go. Awesome. And we should do more international news on International Beer Day.
Thank you for listening, everyone. And just as a reminder that if you can go to iTunes and leave a review, I'd really, really appreciate that. Give us a 5-star rating and review. That just helps people find this podcast.
Yeah.
And you can reach out to both Shannon or myself on Instagram and say hello and tell us what you're drinking.
Mm-hmm.
Shannon is StarWheel75 on Instagram.
I am.
And if you're interested in buying a mask, she might have them on there. God
nerdy
damn it.
Ones. I even have beer fabric.
Yes, there is some beer fabric.
A little bit of beer fabric.
And please wear a mask and stay safe. And if you want to say hello to me, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram as well at Smitty's Brew.
Mm-hmm.
Love it if you went to anchor.fm/apintwithfriends and left a message. If you get your hands on any of these beers that we mentioned in this episode and could send me your thoughts on what they were like.
I'd love to play them on the show. Beer, especially the one we just had. It's really good.
Yeah. And even those ones from the different parts of the country that I know I'll never get to try.
Yeah.
I'd love
like
to get
leave
your
us
thoughts.
A review.
So that's anchor.fm/apintwithfriends. Or just send us a message to say hello and tell me how much the Canucks suck how much they're going to lose.
And in honor of International Beer Day.
Yes.
I would love it for someone to go from another country to leave a review on a beer from there.
That would be great.
On International Beer Day.
Yeah.
To celebrate
International A Pint with Friends correspondent.
Yes.
That would be great.
Like CNN.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you, everyone. Until next time, open up a lovely beer.
And?
Share it with a friend.
There you go.
Oh, yeah. Take care.